a presentation of the Rio Grande Oil Company.
Company police calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast 67, regarding a murder. Mad Serber, undercover wound for the narcotic squad, found dead this morning. That's all. Rules in place.
Hot news about May West. William Powell and Jenna Garbo. That's a fucking free. And the Rio Grande service station. We're calling all times news.
Yes, sir?
Let me have one of those calling all cars news about May West story. It's true, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thank you.
Come again.
Well, now that I'm here, you might as well give me some of the best gasoline you've got.
That's Rio Grande Crest, the gasoline that gives your car police star performance.
Hey, you fellas are getting a lot of that police star business, aren't you? I hear Rio Grande has a contract to supply 6 big cities now.
I don't know exactly how many cities specify it now, but I do know that wherever it's sold, more police cars, ambulances, fire engines, and emergency equipment use Rio Grande Crest than any other brand.
Where have I heard that before?
You've heard it for years, but today it's more true than ever. Yes, sir. You're using the same Rio Grande Crest gasoline with tetraethyl that our city police cars use.
Once more, we present Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department. Chief Davis.
Good evening, friends. In the police stories I have brought you from our confidential files in the past, you have become acquainted with the activities of the uniformed men and the detective force. There is another and very important group of operators whose identities remain anonymous, who carry no badges, but whose work is of great importance in the complex task of policing a great metropolitan community. I refer to the undercover agents. Tonight, I am bringing you the story of one of them, a woman who worked for years with the personnel of our narcotics squad, motivated by a burning desire to curtail the spread of the drug traffic, the evils of which she knew all too well. Madge Serber worked ceaselessly to send merchants of horror, the drug peddlers, to the penitentiary. What reward she earned for this tremendously important public service, you soon will learn.
Madge?
Miss Serber, good to see you, Captain.
Send her in. Hello, Madge.
Morning, Captain. You come for me?
Yeah. Sit down. Have a cigarette?
No, thanks. Not too early in the morning.
Where have you been keeping yourself, Madge?
Oh, I've been around. What's on your mind?
I got a tip.
Yeah, what is it?
I just received some information last night that a couple of Chileans are unloading a lot of morphine in town.
Yeah, I heard something about that. But I was going to check on it before I bothered you about it.
Well, I got a line on them. Their names are Ruben Romano and Alfred Lopez.
Yeah? What else?
They're hung out at Freddy's down on Spring Street. You know the joint?
I know where it is, but I never gave it much of a play.
Well, they start hanging around down there. If this gets on the level, these two boys will soon get next to you.
What do you mean?
Oh, you know what I mean, Madge. You look like a hype.
Well, don't rub it in, Cap. I can't help it if they took me on the stuff while I was in the hospital that time.
Yeah, I know that, Madge. That's an indelible mark on you.
That's what
makes you so valuable to us, Madge. You're looked upon, but you aren't a user, and therefore you're reliable.
I'll do anything I can to stop the use of drugs. You know that. Even when you get them legally, like I did, to stop pain, the results are terrible. Thank heaven they finally cured me.
Yeah, if they hadn't, we'd be looking for you instead of working with you.
That's right.
Well, Madge, you start making for these joints. Get acquainted with these two Chileans. Is that their names?
Ruben Romano and Alfred Lopez.
That's right. I'll make a buy off them. Establish yourself. And then when you make arrangements for a you're taken by, we'll send a couple of men along with you and knock them over.
Yes, sir.
And watch your step, Madge. These guys don't like undercover with
them. Don't worry. I can take care of myself.
For several days, Madge hangs around Freddy's joint on Spring Street, casually observing the habitués, making covert inquiries until she discovers the identity of Romano and Lopez. With the subtle tips known to experienced women, she insinuates her presence upon the two South Americans without so much as exchanging a word with them. Then, one day... Look at her. There's her cheek.
Oh, there's a woman who looks like a narcotic. The one who's always here alone.
Where is she?
In that booth at his back. What do you say, amigo?
Our work is done. Could we have any pleasure?
It's no trouble. We might build up some more business for our return.
Why not? Her skin is very white. She's a little old, but her skin is white.
Why not? Come on.
Buenos dias, senorita.
Oh, hello, boy.
We saw you alone, senorita, and we wondered if you would honor us by drinking.
Sure, I don't mind if I do. Sit down.
Oh, muchas gracias, senorita. And may I present myself? I am Alfredo Lopez. This is my friend, Rubino Romano.
Hmm, a couple of Mexican boys, huh?
You are Chileno, senorita.
Chilean? Well, what's the difference so long as you have the price of a drink?
And what will the lovely senorita drink?
Can you afford a straight whiskey?
Straight whiskey? The senorita likes the, what you say, the cute, eh?
It's me, boy.
Well, I'm sure we'll be good friends. Waiter! Three whiskey.
Yes, sir, right away.
You boys are fluent, ain't you? I haven't seen you around before.
You haven't? We've been here every day. We'll see you for nearly a week now, every day. And every day we have wanted to speak to you.
Oh, come on, Matt, pretty. Don't tell me that. This is one of my spots, and I don't remember seeing you around.
We are visiting your lovely city. Then we go back to Chile.
Yes, you can. I figured we might get better acquainted.
Uh-huh, who was it?
Well, here's my new eyes, boy.
The senorita seems to like her whiskey.
Yeah, nothing like it. And if you can't get something better.
Something better?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I'm afraid I do not.
Oh, you wasn't born yesterday. I'm talking about snow.
Snow?
Don't mock me. That's just tough for a real joke.
The senorita is a user of narcotics?
Sure, can't you tell? Look at my eye. Look at my skin. I've been on this stuff for years. And boys, here's the rub on. Thank you. You get my last talk this morning. You know how I can get hold of some, do you?
Of course not. You send your ears around.
Oh, come on now, Kitty. Don't get on your high horse. You look as if you've been around long enough to know the ropes. And seeing you're from Chile, I thought.
Chile? What has our native brand got to do with it?
Well, I see the babe in arms. Don't you know some of the best men playing stuff is smuggled into this country from Chile?
Is that so?
Oh, they took it to South America and then sent it up here. Didn't you know that?
No.
How about it, boy? Don't you got me on you?
Why do you ask that?
Oh, come on. Don't call me. I know you're racket.
Racket? You do not understand.
Listen, boys. I'm on to you, see? You guys are a couple of high-powered dope smugglers. I know all about you.
What are you trying to do? Who are you?
Don't get excited.
We told you such a thing about us.
You know Hobo Pegler?
Hobo Pegler? Who?
Well, the hobo and I are pals. He tells me you've been supplying him for a couple of months. As soon as you don't think I'm on the level. Well, how about it, boy? I've got to help you, Scott. I've got to. How much can you tell me?
You're sold out.
You're sold out? Now, ain't that just my luck? Can you have some more?
You must go back to Santiago and get some more.
Well, that'll take months.
4 months to be exact.
Well, listen, boys. You'll let me know when you come back, won't you?
Yes, senorita, we will.
You'll find me around here almost any day.
Bueno. We will look for you, senorita.
Two months later, just as gray dawn is breaking on a hazy July morning, a little passenger carrying freighter seeks the San Pedro light off Los Angeles Harbor. On the fantail above the turning wake stands a quiet figure peering across the gray water. A man approaches him carrying a package under his arm.
Have you seen him yet?
Yes. I think that is his boat just running the breakwater.
See, that is Miguel.
Just an innocent fisherman, the package ready.
See,
the waterproofing is wrapped tightly around it. Look for yourself. Yeah, you look for that. He does not land attached to the buoy. He is 30 foot.
Yeah, why not?
Let's drop it over then.
Wait a minute.
Let me look around.
Go ahead. There is no one looking.
No one but Miguel.
He's watching us.
Yeah, I hope so. There's no desire to confirm 30 ounces of morphine at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, throw it over.
There you are. This boy is bobbing around. Just like another piece of driftwood. And before we are in dock, then Miguel will have decided to place the board. He'll be on his way back to the harbor. Smuggling is such an easy business.
Yeah, see.
Until you are caught. Smart men like us are never caught in these old meals.
Thus, did the two Chileans manage to bring their narcotics into California under the very noses of the Coast Guard and the customs men. A few days later, at Freddy's joint on Spring Street, the Chileans run into their friend, Mad.
Well, if you guys in a fight for so long.
Buenos dias, senorita. It is good to see you again.
And believe me, it's good to see you. When did you get back?
A few days ago.
You came back from Sacramento?
Yes, that is.
That is what? What's the matter? What's the case?
If you have the money.
Don't worry about that. If I haven't got the dough, I got a friend to help.
A friend? We do not trust people, senorita.
You can trust this guy. Him and me have been pals for years, and he's got debt. How much did you bring back?
We have only 2 ounces left.
I'll take them both.
They will cost you $80 an ounce.
Hey, what are you peddling? Powdered platinum?
We run risk, senorita. We must charge that. But the stuff is of the very best.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Hobo Pedro says it's the best he ever had. But $80 an ounce.
Of course, if you are not interested, we can dispose of it.
Oh, no, I'll take it. I'll get Charlie before October.
Charlie?
Yes, he's the boyfriend with the dough. You guys ought to meet Charlie. He'll be a good customer for you. Well, when can I get the stuff?
Any time you get the money.
I'll see Charlie tonight. How about tomorrow afternoon?
But it'll be all right.
Here?
Oh, no, not here. We must be more careful. You come to our place on Mateo Street.
Okay. Just write down the address. And I'll be there about 4 o'clock.
Madge immediately reports her progress to Captain Littlejohn, and he assigns Detective Lieutenant Warren to accompany her to the rendezvous with the dope smuggler. Warren disguises himself in rough clothes, and the next day he and Madge present themselves from the Mateo Street address precisely at 4 o'clock, while Detective Lieutenant Murphy parks nearby in a police car.
Now remember, you're Charlie, and you're an old pal of mine, see?
Yes, Warren, and don't worry about me. You just get out of the way if there's any shooting. Murphy and I'll handle that end of it.
Okay, let's get in here. Ring the bell. Hello, pal. Well, I've come for the stuff.
You have not come alone.
No, of course not. I told you Charlie's the boy who has the jack. Charlie, this is Senor Lopez.
Oh, hiya, Senor.
No, I like you, Senorita.
Now listen here, Lopez, old kid. You got nerves like an old lady. Charlie's okay, and he's got dough. We're both in a bad way, and we want to give up the cell. Come on, don't keep us standing out here in the cold.
Very well, if you say so. You have the money, Senor?
Sure. Take a look at this roll.
Well, no. Come in, please. Rubin!
Hey, what?
Nuestro amigo dinero para la tierra. Tráigalo aquí.
Sí, muy tarde. Cierto,
amigo. Oh, no stranger, pal. This is my friend Charlie. You've got to go.
Oh, sí. ¿Lo vemos aquí?
Sí, me figuro la mujer que está buena.
Y así me parece también.
Bueno,
si digo así.
Let me sample it, man. Beautiful, right?
safe there. You know, it's good stuff. How much do you want?
There are two answers here. $80 a man, senor. It'll be $160.
$160. There you are,
I got it. Mr. Gracias, senor.
Hey, when can I get some more of this? It looks okay to me.
We will let you know. I will tell the senor each.
Oh, fine. Let's get in. Now you can stick them up. You're under arrest.
What is he like?
Hold on, you don't. Stop or I'll shoot. Get out of the way, Mad.
No!
Now, you Lopez, come out here.
You killed my parents. And you, senorita. You are police in a pool. No, they're going to stand for us. You didn't get up before you. They might have enough.
Detective Warren's bullet ends Romano's life as he attempts to escape. But Lopez is placed in custody and charged with violation of the State Poison Act. Facing deportation to Chile, he is held in the Los Angeles County Jail. And there he strikes up an acquaintance with a huge Negro.
What do you all in here for, Mexican?
I'm not a Mexican. I come from Chile.
Chile? Most likely you're all born to a place that ain't there, Chile, though.
Oh? You don't understand.
What are you all in here for? What do they ask you for?
Narcotics.
Don't know? I'm in for the same thing.
There's still people who do this for me. A woman. And they killed my friend.
How is that, boss? A damn thing got to you?
What's the name? You remember?
Mad, to call herself Mad.
My death, no count thing.
What you look like?
Oh, white face and yellow hair. Is that the one?
Yeah, it got me sent up, too.
Here's the one to buy some snow, and when I got some for, they put the coppers on me.
So I said, don't make it out of here. I will revenge myself.
I will take her life.
Just the way she may be take the life of my friend.
Well, you want to go up forever. He's violating the state poison act.
Well, you want to do that for a few years.
They won't send me to the penitentiary. They will send me back to Chile. I can never come back to this country. And I want that woman out of the way.
Look you here, boss. I'm still going to be here.
What do you mean?
They'll send me away for a few years, and then I'll be out again. I could arrange to bump off if you want me to.
You would?
Sure. Of course, it would cost you some money.
It was. It was money to revenge my friend. How much would it cost?
Well, now seeing how I've got a grudge against that being myself, I'll bump her off for you for only
$25. $25, I'll pay it. I'll send it to you as soon as I get back to Chile. And it'll be sure you get her out of your way for good.
Oh, don't worry, boss. When I bump them off, they'll stay bumped. Lopez
is deported to Chile. The Negro is sent to San Quentin. Several years passed. Evil years for the dope peddlers who crossed the path of Mad Serger, undercover woman. And then one day, a few months ago, Mad walked into the office of Captain Chitwood, the narcotics squad.
Hello, Mad.
Hello, Eddie.
Well, you've been seeing yourself, Mad. Haven't seen you for a long time.
Well, I've been around, keeping my eyes open.
What's the job?
I got a line with some boys putting out coke in the bus truck.
Let's have the lowdown, and I'll send some men out there.
I'll work it, Eddie.
Central Avenue is a pretty dangerous place for a woman to work.
Listen, Eddie, I'm too old a hammer to stand. Let that worry me.
You'd better let me send a man along with you.
I'll be okay. I'll get tired of my way. Those coppers will be all killer talk coppers, no matter how you dress them up.
Well, I still think you're strange.
Don't you worry, Eddie. Just stand by, and I'll tip you off when I'm ready to make the bar.
Though Mad plays it her way, he comes to beer gardens along Central Avenue, makes casual contact with men she suspects of being dope peddlers. And then one Saturday evening, accompanied by an escort, she is seated at a table in a black and tan resort when three Negroes enter the place and stroll toward the bar.
Boy, you all decide the four eyes, Billy.
Yeah, man, we thought you all
Buckets, Lindsay, and don't make them all cold.
Oh, here's the ride. Yes, sir. 30 yellow gals, no gillette, common divers, and beer.
And while I was up there drinking water, you boys got beer back.
Yeah, man. Here you are, beer. Fold yourself around us.
My first glass of beer.
Here goes.
Boy, does that taste good, old boy.
Uh-oh. What's the matter, Ben?
Yes, you.
Yeah, who is?
That white woman walking toward that door, that blonde.
What about her?
That's the priest that done send me up. She's a stool pigeon.
No, man.
I'm telling you, Doc. Send up a friend of mine through a white boy. He's down in the city. She's no good. I'm going to get her.
Now, come on, Benny. Put that razor away. We just got out of the big house. You all don't want to go back there tonight.
I'm going to get her now. Come along with me.
Come on,
baby.
Gotcha.
Can you take a cab, Mitch? Hey, I'm on the tent of house.
Just a minute, Jules. Just a minute.
What do you want?
Don't remember me, you hophead kid.
Get going, boy, or I'll call the police.
Look, I'm ready.
You get your hands off of me.
Well, you don't remember Ben Watson, eh? Well, I just put in 3 years in the big house on the county.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't, eh? Well, maybe this will help you. Right. Oh.
As the three Negroes disappear down an alley, Maggie's escort and the cab driver assist her to a feeding. She is badly beaten, her eyes blackened, her clothing torn. They take her home, and the next morning her friend returns to discover how she spent the night.
Mad. Oh, Mad. Are you the landlady?
I am. What's the trouble?
I was trying to rouse Miss Shelby.
Yes, I know. She told me last night that she'd had a bad fall, poor thing.
Bad fall? Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Have you the key to her room? I'm afraid maybe she's sick.
Why, no. She got the only key I have when she came in last night. And she said she lost her pocketbook.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll have to try knocking again. Max? Max? It's Hobo, Max. Okay, I'm worried. I think we'd better break the door.
Wait, I don't want you busting my door down.
I'll pay you for any damage.
No, if you're okay, go ahead.
Max? Max?
There she is. I want her on the couch.
Max? Max? Speak to me. Wake up, Max. What's the matter? Good heavens. She's dead.
Mad Sober is removed to the morgue, where during the routine autopsy, she is found to have died of a basal fracture of the skull. The homicide squad is notified, and detectives Joe Silkis and Thad Brown are assigned to the case. They question Maggie's friend in discovering the circumstances of her injury. They enlist the aid of Detectives Clancy and Smith of the Narcotics Squad and drive out Central Avenue to interrogate the proprietor of the beer garden where the disturbance had occurred.
You the boss here?
Yes, sir.
Why, Joe Ann. What do you know about a fight out front last night?
Well, I don't know nothing about no fight.
Don't give us the runaround. A white woman was knocked down last night out in front of your place. This morning, she was dead.
Hey,
yeah. You know what that means.
Yeah, but I didn't have nothing to do with it.
Well, I'm saying you did. But you do know who did it.
Listen here, white man. I ain't fixing to caress no razor between my ribs. No, sir.
You better come clean with us, or you may find it tough to get a license to sell beer.
Oh, you all can't put me out of business.
I didn't say we could, but we might make it pretty tough for you. Now, look here. This thing is serious. If you know what's good for you, you'll come clean. Well?
Come on, spill, give.
Or else?
Well, you might ask the welcher about it.
Who's the welcher?
Just the welcher. And then there's BW.
BW? What does that mean?
Who gives them the measure?
Welcher and BW. All right, come on, talk.
I can't say nothing more. Only, there's the work you're pulling away from the curb with that gal in the front seat.
Come on, son.
The detectives trail the welter to a house on the side street off Central Avenue. They see him leave the woman in the car and enter the house. Then they pull up behind the Negro's car and Phelps casually saunters up to it.
Hello there, sister. Where's the welter?
Welter? He just went to the house.
Thanks. That's all I wanted to know. Oh, come on, Sam. Yes. Lenny, you and Smith go around to the back. And you, sister, keep your crap shut.
What's your old wrong?
Is the welter here?
The welter? I don't know no welter.
Yeah? Well, we know better.
Yeah, please come in here.
We're police officers and we're coming in.
Let's go. We'll send a moon behind that curtain.
Come out of there.
Pull the curtain.
What do y'all want? I ain't done nothing. Benny did it.
Where is Benny?
Benny, he skipped town. I don't know where he is.
Yeah? Well, you're coming along with us. Maybe a night in jail will refresh your memory.
The welter and his pal, Tommy Washington, picked up later, convinced the officers that although present at the time of the argument, they did not strike the fatal blow, expressing their willingness to turn state's evidence and thus escape accusation of complicity in the case. They furnished police with a description of their friend, Benny Watson, actual murderer of Mag Sturgis. Watson's description and fingerprints are broadcast all over the country, but for several weeks, nothing is heard of him. Then in the magistrate's court in Louisville, Kentucky.
Let's see. Benny Gibson, Sturgis. Put that on suspicion of murder in a party, sir. Not the man you're looking for.
It's today. Oh, Judge, Your Honor, that's a long, long time. I ain't done nothing. I was just walking down the street. I was on my way to Memphis, Judge.
Well, we're on angels to put our girls up with vigor. You pay the cost, I'll give you a suspended sentence, providing you keep right on going to Memphis.
Yes, Judge, yes, I'll do that, but... what will the cost be, sir, Your Honor?
$4.60.
$4.60. The judge, I only got $2.
Well, I have to go to jail.
But I got an overcoat I could talk dead if Your Honor would let me. Ought to get $2.60 for that.
Well, if you can raise the fine, you'll be released.
Thank you, old judge. Thank you. And I promise I'll never come back to Louisville no more, no how.
But the unfortunate Negro can raise only $2 on his overcoat. Lacking the required 60 cents for his fine, he wires collect to his sister in Jackson, Mississippi, requesting funds. Next day, the chief of detectives in Louisville received a routine report from the Federal Bureau of Identification in Washington.
Well, Ed, this is a break.
Oh.
What's that, Chief? Just a minute.
Bring down that prisoner he spoke to, Sammy Gibson.
Oh, what do you want with that bag?
He isn't a bag. He's wanted for murder in Los Angeles.
What?
Yeah. They sent his mug and prints into Washington as a matter of routine. And here comes the answer that his real name is Benny Watson. He bumped off an undercover woman on the coast.
There's Gibson, sir.
Send him in.
Well, he's done come, Chief. Here it is.
Here, what is it?
That 60 cents I'm on the city of Louisville. My sister sent it to me in the afternoon mail. Here you are. Now, that makes you square. So I guess I'll be going down to Memphis now.
Not so fast, Watson.
What's that?
What do you say?
I said Watson.
Oh, my name's Gibson.
Yeah? Well, let's call you Watson for fun. The same mail that brought you the 60 cents also brought me some good news.
Yeah?
I'm so glad to hear that, Chief.
I'm not so sure that you will be. The news is that your real name is Benny Watson, and you're wanted in Los Angeles for murder.
Detective Pat Brown is sent from Los Angeles to Louisville to bring Watson back. For 2 days, the Negro refuses to discuss his case as the two sit cooped in his apartment on the transcontinental train. Then he breaks and admits his guilt. But to him, his misfortune is not completely clouded with bad luck. For he observes to Lieutenant Brown,
"You know, Mr. Brown, it's a mighty lucky thing for me that they didn't catch me down there in the Mississippi Valley. Like as not, they'd have left me. You know, Mr. Brown, them white folks down there, they just ain't civilized."
Benny Watson was a fortnight ago found guilty of manslaughter and sentenced to serve from 1 to 10 years in San Quentin Penitentiary. But this all too lenient punishment can in no way make up for the loss sustained by the police department in the death of valued attaché Mad Server undercover woman.
Thank you, Chief David.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me call your special attention to the year's biggest bargain in motor oil, an oversized quart for a quarter. Every can of Sinclair Opaline motor oil is sealed at the refinery with 2 extra ounces in each quart can. And this is unusual motor oil. It has won international fame. On the reputation of Opaline oil, Sinclair has built the world's largest independent oil business. Sinclair Opaline is used by the Army, the Navy, by leading transcontinental railroad and airplane lines. Such tremendous sales permit Sinclair to give you a sealed can of oil that should sell for 30 cents. But you get an oversized quart for a quarter. It's a sensational value. And you can get Sinclair Opaline motor oil wherever you fill up with Rio Grande Craft gasoline. And by the way, don't forget to ask your Rio Grande dealer for the new March issue of the Free Calling All Cars News.
Cancellation broadcast 67 regarding a murder. The special occasion now in custody. That's all. Go in deeply.
This is your narrator, Frederick Lindsay, bidding you good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.